on social media, hashtag Eskom. Eskom says mandatory lifestyle audits for employees form part of its plans to root out corruption. Members of the board, as well as some of the top executive, outlined the utility's annual performance and turnaround plan on Wednesday. Eskom told Parliament's Public Enterprises Committee that it's investigating over 200 cases of misconduct by officials. The utility's Khulu Phasiwe says that lifestyle audits are also important for Eskom to move away from all these allegations. One of the things that can and should be done is to do the investigations and understand where we are. One of the starting points is to do lifestyle audits, especially starting at the executive level. One person says, deal with your problems. We don't want excuses, Eskom. Another one says, at some point we were generating excess energy and now suddenly Eskom is talking load shedding again. And then we have hashtag bus strike. Union leaders have told bus drivers that the strike will continue until their demands are met. Bus drivers have converged on the Grand Parade in Cape Town CBD, where union leaders have given an update on the strike and wage negotiations on Wednesday afternoon. It's understood talks with employers will resume on Thursday with the help of the CCMA. Workers are demanding a 12% across the board pay increase, while employers are offering 7%. Satawu's Wayne Lowe said, in terms of now, the strike may not be over until employers give in to the demands of the workers. Satawu is one of the major negotiators there, and they are even chairing those meetings at the national negotiations. Twitter response, PUTCO should take this opportunity to properly service their buses. RT, if you agree. Another one says, spare a thought for colleagues and people who are impacted by the strike. Employers, too, must be sympathetic as taxi ranks will be packed and alternative transport isn't always an option. People buy monthly tags and may not have the money. Completely agree. And then finally, Supra Mahumapelo's trending ANC Secretary General Ace Magashule has called for calm in Mahikeng as residents barricade roads and torch property in a protest calling for Premier Supra Mahumapelo to step down. People are responding. Northwest is on fire. ANC sends petrol and paraffin, as in Ace and Jesse, to douse the fire. Another one says, Mahikeng is on fire. People are tired. Supra has to resign. And another person says, Tshwane residents chanted, no Spuka, no vote, and ANC ignored their call. Northwest residents are saying, Supra must fall, and ANC is being nonchalant about this call again. They will never see a signal, even if it was delivered by Angel Gabriel, is what that person is saying. This is what is trending on social media.
Eusebius MacIsaac, weekday mornings, 9 to 12.
I believe you, but I wonder whether you are more hamstrung than you are able to concede. There seems to be plenty of people in that organization that probably are not necessarily a force for good.
We need to make sure that such abuses of the authority that is given to certain people that arise from their position are limited.
The COO of the SABC, Chris Maroleng.
Eusebius MacIsaac on 702, your number one news and talk station.
Introducing the new 7-seater Lexus RX350L, the latest addition to the RX family. Experience an exceptionally smooth ride thanks to the 3.5-liter V6 engine and uncompromised comfort all the way to the third row of seats. This makes any family road trip not just impressionable, but luxurious too. Lexus RX350L, the more than luxurious SUV. Lexus, experience amazing.
If you're a property investor, you need answers to questions like, has my property been correctly valuated? Am I paying too much on rates and taxes? Have I got enough insurance? These are the questions that Unico finds answers for. Unico is South Africa's leading independent property valuer. We offer professional valuations that tick the right legal boxes and give you real answers to aid investment stability. Contact us on 0861-99-0003 today to book a professional evaluation or go to unico.co.za.
Every morning on Breakfast with Bongani Bingwa, you could be rewarded for listening to 702 in the Lotto Star Voices of 702. You could win 2,000 rand just by identifying one familiar voice of 702. If the voice isn't identified, the cash will roll over to the next morning until one lucky listener takes it all. And if you've placed a bet on Lotto Star in the last 30 days, your winnings will be doubled. For your chance to play and win in the Lotto Star Voices of 702, listen to Breakfast with Bongani Bingwa all week. Lotto Star, how lucky can and you get more on 702.co.za.
So let me tell you how I see it. You're a hustler with a hashtag, you've got the plan, you've got the goods, you need the people. Get the people. With Instant EFT by Payfast, South Africa's leading online payment platform for buyers and sellers, like you. Instant EFT makes checkout easy. It's integrated, automated, totally safe, and it pays and clears. Like now. Ka-ting! In your bank account. They click, you earn, and that's how I see it. Register your online business at instanteft.co.za.
702 Early Breakfast on 011-883-0702.
13 minutes after 5 o'clock and we get into our relationship Thursday by speaking about couples counseling and marriage counseling. Does it help or does it not? Each year, hundreds of thousands of couples go into counseling in an effort to save their troubled relationships. But does it actually work? So to help us answer some of these questions, we've got our relationship expert, Dudu Nhlabathi, and Louis Fenter, who is founder of Couples Help. He is an intensive relationship specialist. A very good morning to you, sister. Dudu, how are you doing?
Morning, how are you?
I am great, and very good morning to you, Louis. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Relebohile. Good morning, and morning, Dudu.
Morning, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
All right, so let me start with you, Sis Dudu. I mean, you do more of the dating, coaching and relationship overseeing, if I could put it that way. At what point would you say a couple should consider counseling? Because it might sound as a little bit out there if, for example, I say to a guy that I've been dating for a month, I think we need to go into couples counseling.
Okay, yeah. From a dating coaching perspective, I mean, what we do is that we help you take control of your dating life, and it's very much about the person, you know. Like I always say that, you know, if you fix the person, most of their relationship issues probably will fall away. Would we suggest couples therapy? Typically, because of the nature of my work, whereby I deal with individuals who want to enter the dating scene, and how I work is that, you know, I don't take you for longer than 6 sessions because I don't believe in taking you longer than that. Once I feel like some of the lessons, you have to actually go out there and do it yourself. So it's very rare that people come to me when they are in a relationship and they want to now take it to a relationship coach. It's usually a person comes before them, or a person has just left a relationship, or a person says, yes, I'm in a relationship, but I realize that the problem is me and I want to just become a better person.
All right. So, Louis, from your perspective, you have this couple that now comes in and they, you know, they come in for a session to say, we're looking to get some counseling as a couple, right? What are the first mistakes that people make when they walk into that room as a couple or as individuals with their partner?
What's the first mistake they make?
Yes.
Well, I think the expectation they arrive with is a lot of the times what I encounter, that when they go to counseling, they've got the picture in their head, they're coming to a boxing match.
Mm.
So who's going to be right and who's going to be wrong? So in the first 3 minutes, I stretch couples into kindness, softness, vulnerability, and learning new things.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing I think we need to learn as counselors, to help couples to step in with the new expectations. In the first minute, what do you expect from this session?
Mm.
And then help them to move to a place that nobody's going to be right or wrong here. We're going to move to another place, outside of the place of right or wrong. So I think that's the first thing that I encounter with couples when they walk in.
Mm. And I think using the word expectation is very valuable. So when you say people have certain expectations, what is the idea in people's mind of what is a great a counseling session or experience versus what is actually a bad counseling session experience?
Well, a bad counseling experience is if the counselor doesn't stop the current hurt,
mm-hmm.
immediately, that the right and wrong talk continues, that you keep the couple in the rut where they are, that the knot they're in just continues. That's a bad counseling session, leaving depleted, leaving just having the same conversation you always have with another person. A good counseling session is if they step immediately out of that place into immediate connection in the first 3 minutes, and where the counselor teach them a new language, how to talk about what hurts in a new way. I think that's a good counseling session, where we leave revitalized with new energy, hope that somewhere we missed something and these new tools we can use to have a new conversation.
Okay, so sis, do you find a lot of the challenges between couples in relationships are communication based?
Yes, I think it is so that it is about communication, because we all come from, we groomed differently by our environments, and we have different languages of love. And actually, when we express ourselves, in a manner that we would actually like to be addressed in. And it's not necessarily that the other person understands what you're saying. And it's getting to a point where I think the first basis is getting to a point where the other person acknowledges and understands what you're saying, and you are communicating to them and learning to communicate to them in a way that actually speaks to their values and their highest values, so that they can actually hear what you're saying. So most of the time it's getting to the point of being heard and understood, and communicating in such a way that the other person hears you.
All right. So from your perspective, Louis, you've got this couple now that's in front of you, and they want to deal with whatever challenges they are facing. Do you sometimes find that, or what I say is it more often than not that one person is not actually participating, which brings to reality the theory that it doesn't matter how much love there is between two people, if one person is not trying to make it work, it's just not going to work?
Yes, I think you're right. I don't get a lot of couples where two people are equally engaged in the session. So all session starts with the one who made the appointment and the one that tagged along.
Mm.
So it always happens like that. So the first thing you need to do in counseling is to get that right, to get two people engaged.
Mm.
And in my experience, when the shame and the blame goes away, the one person that doesn't want to be there is tired of being blamed, or she's tired of being shamed. And the picture in the head is just, this is just going to be a burning session.
Mm.
So if you change that, you get two people to engage into connection, into safeness, then two people show up. But you're right. I think the first thing in counseling is that to realize that and get two people to engage session. It's always one making the appointment and one just tagging along.
Many a time I've actually heard of stories where it's more often than not women that are asking for counseling sessions. And sometimes it's because maybe they are trying to convince their partner to go to therapy themselves. Do people sometimes do that as well?
Yeah, I don't think it's a woman-man thing. In my practice, I don't get that it's more women or more men. I think more it's a personality thing, and that can
yes.
be male or female. So there's always one personality type that's always more keen on engaging connection and fixing and making it right. So for me, it's more a personality thing than a man or a woman thing.
All right. Sis Judy, from your experience, do you sometimes find that people run to counseling when it almost feels like it's too late? They wait until the absolute last thread.
Usually when people come to me, there's something wrong with their dating life. When they come to that realization, it's either, you know what, I'm not finding the partner that I'm finding, or I'm finding partners that I cannot sustain a relationship. There's usually a trigger. And the trigger is usually where they're at the point of, it's not really the right word, but desperation.
Mm-hmm.
They've tried everything, and now probably this is the only thing that works. And a lot of people, as much as, you know, it sounds fancy to see a dating coach, but a lot of people are reluctant to come and see a dating coach because to them it presents failure. And probably it could speak in terms of couples therapy. The person who's reluctant probably sees it as failure, the inability to solve their own problems.
Mm.
And when somebody comes to a dating coach, it's almost embarrassing. You know, they're not very keen to tell people around them until it starts working that actually I've gone to seek help with regards to conducting my own affairs in a relationship.
Louis, what is the success rate from your experience when it comes to couples counseling? Do you find that sometimes the couples come in and they realize that they're on a completely different page through the therapy?
I don't think that couples counseling is one of the most successful disciplines in psychological practices.
Mm-hmm.
I believe from experience and interviewing couples that they have horrific and horrible experiences in couples counseling, so it makes sense to me that in South Africa it's not a very popular thing to do. I don't think it's about the counselors in the country or the psychologists. I just think that what is needed in couples counseling is very different from from all other disciplines in psychology.
Mm.
It's a discipline that takes time. It's an intensive discipline. And that's why in South Africa, I think we still struggle to get couples into connection and fixing what is hurting and into deep connection. I don't think we are very successful.
Mm. I'm thinking about...
Can I add to that?
Yes.
So what I've realized with people who come to me, and sometimes because I do have sometimes couples who want to come to me, and I shy away from it because it's not my area of specialty. But what I've realized about relationship advice in the context of Africans is that, you know, the reason why people seek a life coach or a dating coach is because they're almost trying to bridge their mother's advice and the psychologist. And this is my theory. I believe that, you know, dating advice is dependent on the context of the environment, or relationship advice is dependent on the context of the environment that the individual lives in. And, you know, everybody who gives advice subscribes to different school of thoughts. When in psychology, it might be a theory or certain fundamentals, and then there's a religious one which comes from a spiritual or religious perspective. And, you know, you also have, like, in-betweeners like me who are more life coaches.
Mm.
And the reason why some people can, certain types of styles of coaching does not work for them, it doesn't resonate with them. And I think as an individual, you must find the style that resonates with you. You know, there are some people where religious couples coaching just doesn't work for them because it's not aligned with their values, you know. I believe like some of the Western styles in terms of psychology doesn't resonate with certain people from an African context because you have the cultural perspective that comes into that.
And that was leading me on to my next question, Louis. I wanted to sort of see, you know, do you find that, some people decide to go to premarital counseling, which is seen more from a religious perspective. And then you also have the couples who find themselves where things are going wrong in their marriage. They go through some kind of counseling via the elders in their family. How does that sort of resonate with the type of work that you are doing? And where do you think they can meet in the middle?
Yeah, that's a very difficult question. Did you touch on it? I think finding a counselor or a psychologist you're comfortable with is very, very important. The thing for me in the field where I work in, I think psychologists or therapists or counselors need to be wise. We pass the days where just religion is fixing things. People are asking questions that religion don't just answer by itself. We need counselors that are psychological, spiritual. They need to be trained in various disciplines to discern each story to the best possible way. The way to meet in the middle is some specialists that really are able to discern each story differently on its own merit.
Mm.
Each couple walking in, sitting in front of you, has got their own story, their own rhythms. There's no one rule for all couples.
Mm. And I'm so glad you said that, because sometimes people come to me when they are asking about just individual therapy. They're like, please find me a black therapist, for example, that's going to understand the cultural context to my issues.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's important. I really think that's important.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so Dudu, just to wrap up from your side, I mean, what advice would you give to young people that are looking to get into relationships? Should one ask right at the beginning, do you believe in couples therapy, so you know if you're on the same page or not?
I think more the question that should be asked is that, you know, are you open to the idea that, you know, sometimes we might need help in the relationship? Because I think, you know, I've often understand that, you know, the person who's more reluctant to go to therapy, the minute they hear the word therapy, that's what actually makes them shy away.
Mm.
But if you actually present the question a little bit different to say, are you actually open to help? Should we require help in a relationship? And both of you would determine what is that help, whether it's an elder, whether it's a religious leader, whether it's therapy. As long as both of you agree on the type of help, I think that's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. And Louis, from your side, I mean, what would you put out there for people who maybe have some misconceptions about the idea of couples therapy, and where do you think the space of couples therapy can improve?
Well, I would say to couples that all couples live with very much unconscious material between the two of them. At some point, relationship is going to get difficult. You do nothing wrong to get to that space. Relationship is difficult. The journey is to learn to love. So when you get involved with someone, you're on a journey. So one of the things you need to build into your journey is we are a teachable couple. There's a lot of unconscious stuff between the two of us, and we can do everything possible to do this in the greatest way. And if counseling is part of that, we're going to engage in that. So, something like that.
All right. I do think it's quite a valuable discussion. I mean, one of the things that I've heard a man say to me is, you know, why should I sit and have some other person, some stranger judge me? Can we just dispel the rumors, Louis?
Yes. So couples counseling is not about a stranger judging you. Couples counseling is teaching you connection and connecting. And we all struggle with that from our childhood stories, from our cultures. We don't know how to show up with all of us, with all of the other. And that's when the pain stops. And sometimes we need someone to teach us that. How to step out of our personalities and our fears and into true intimacy. And good couples counseling is that. Not blaming and shaming, but teaching connecting and connection.
And I'm assuming that means that if couples do decide to come through to you, or somebody's listening now and is thinking, wow, I could do with some help in my relationship, that they should just come with a completely open mind.
Yes, come with an open mind. Come with open. Don't make up stories about what you've heard. There's
yes.
some good counseling out there, and there's a new wave of teaching connection that's happening in a lot of the faculties around South Africa. So we're in a good space. I think we're at the space in 2018 where we get it right.
Mm.
We stepped out of counseling into teaching connecting and connection. And we're getting great success around that.
All right. I actually am probably going to be in touch with the both of you. I had this crazy idea where I said I want to run an experiment where a couple has a first date in a couple's therapy session. And I'd be curious. I would be so curious as to how that would turn out. You know, I don't know. What do you guys think?
It will be lovely.
Crazy stuff, but maybe right at the beginning you get the baggage out of the way and then you commit after that.
Wow. You just step out of attachment patterns and just into true connection on your first date. That will be lovely.
There we go.
Sitting in 44 centimeters, showing up, seeing each other, it will be a lovely thing.
There we go. Sis Dudu, thank you so much for your time. And Louis Fenter, who's intensive relationship expert specialist, if you want to get in touch with him, go to coupleshelp.co.za or on Twitter and Facebook, it's CouplesHelpSA if you are looking to get some assistance in your relationship. And hopefully go there with an open mind. Time for business.